Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Deeper with the Dolan Twins. I'm your host, Ethan.
And I'm your other host, Grayson.
Why does it sound like a game show? It's not a game show. This is a podcast. This is a chill conversation that we're having with you guys.
It's probably not going to be chill. But maybe it will.
Who knows? I'm feeling kind of funky today. I could kind of see myself not getting chill this whole episode.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In what type of ways?
We'll just have to find out. I'm honestly probably going to surprise myself. Do you ever like wake up and you just don't know how you're going to be that day? Like, oh, I wonder how I'm going to be today.
Like if you're going to be good, if you're not going to be good.
Yeah. Like if you're going to be naughty or nice. Dude, sometimes I wake up and I'm just a bitch. And I can't do anything about it.
How come that happens?
I don't know.
Dude, I'm having the type of day where I just feel like I can't talk.
You can't talk?
Why the fuck?
That also happens.
Or is it just, I'm just having the type of podcast?
No, you're just having
the something to make me talk. Trigger me into speaking. No.
You said something.
It makes me not want to talk.
You just said something.
Yeah, but then I stopped. Because all you did was just throat burp.
Yeah, anyway, sometimes I wake up like a bitch, but I didn't do that today. No offense, but Grayson's been waking up as a bitch a lot lately.
No. Yeah, you have. No, I'm going to explain exactly why you think that. Because I wake up 2 hours earlier than you, and then so I'm already up, and your first thing of me, of like you're tired as shit the first time you see me in the day, so you're grumpy.
No.
And so as soon as you see me, you immediately think he's a bitch because you're tired and grumpy.
Now, you woke up today, and you were so grumpy, and we were trying to get Christmas gifts, and you were just so grumpy, and Grayson was like, if I don't take a bite of food in the next 45 seconds, I'm going to put my head through a wall.
Yeah, that's fucking normal. That's called hangry.
Yeah, but you also woke up as a bitch.
I don't even think I was hangry. I think I was just humpy.
Humpy? What's humpy?
Hunger grumpy.
Isn't that the same thing?
Can this phone stop getting fucking texted before I smash it?
You know, you could put it on do not disturb.
Maybe I am humpy today.
You are humpy.
Yeah. But I just ate a burrito, so it doesn't really make sense. Things aren't adding up.
That's what I'm saying.
And then I ate nachos.
Sometimes it's like you wake up. Cookies. Yeah, exactly. You thought you were hangry, but you were just a bitch all day. I'm telling you, you were a bitch before you got hungry. But sometimes you just can't do anything about it. And you just have to fucking accept it.
Why is that a thing?
But I think what you could practice doing is warning me. Just be like, bro, I'm going to be a bitch all day today. Because remember I did that last time I was a bitch? I've said that. I try to warn you. I did. I swear, I tried to warn you last time I was going to be a bitch all day.
I don't remember you trying to do that. I kind of want to get Ethan into this conversation. Okay, so I was like in sixth grade, and this like actually full on happened. And I'm not gonna lie about this shit. It's like the only time I've seen a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, I slept in. The thing is, I slept in and I woke up and it was daylight. I just had my shutter or my drapes on my window closed, but they let a little bit of light through them. Just not enough, so my room was still dim. But I want to say it was like 10 o'clock on like a summer day.
P.M. or A.M.?
A.M. So it's bright out.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up And as I was blinking my eyes open, I looked at the foot of my bed, and there was this little cowboy. It was a young boy dressed as a cowboy.
But it wasn't like a Party City outfit. It was like authentic cowboy.
No, it was an authentic cowboy. Like, he had a fucking badge. But it could have been a costume. It could have been a ghost boy that was playing dress up as a cowboy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But what I saw was a small cowboy, but he was faceless. I didn't see his like face or any of his features.
Was he facing you?
Facing me. I didn't see his face. And he was at the foot of my bed. And he just started rocking back and forth like this. Like he had like boots on.
So he was there for a while.
Dude, he was there for like 15 seconds. And in Person Sees Ghost time, that's like an eternity.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you would. Like,
I was scared shit. So.
And you didn't see his face that entire time?
No. I looked at the bottom, at the foot of my bed and I'm blinking, dude. I was like, what the fuck? All right, let me close my eyes and then open them again. I closed them and I pressed on them and I rubbed them and I opened them and he was still there. And then what's even freakier is I heard my mom in the kitchen downstairs because it was like 10 a.m. People were up and around the house and I'm still seeing this cowboy, hearing everybody around the house. And I was like, mom? And I don't know if she responded because I don't think I said it loud enough. And then I was like, Ethan, because I knew your room was right next to mine. And I'm screaming that. Ethan didn't answer because he's sleeping, obviously. Kid sleeps till one. He's always done it his whole life. And I fucking start smacking my face and the cowboy's still there. And then something happened and he finally just went away. But like, it was, I blinked. I interacted with you, even though you were sleeping. I screamed for my mom. Cowboy, he didn't move. Like people say, oh, I thought I saw a ghost and then like vanished. And I blinked and it vanished. But I blinked a bunch. I was like, oh, I'm going to blink to make sure I'm not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. And now we sound like fucking psychos on this podcast because Ethan doesn't think space is real and I saw Ghost Cowboy even though I was wide awake at 10 a.m.
You were talking about something in the car and you wanted to talk about it.
It was in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Do you know what it was?
No.
You don't know what you wanted to talk about?
Damn, I did want to talk about something though.
You did. Let's go into Grayson's brain. We're going to find it.
The first thing that just came to my brain was I was just reminiscing on the burrito that I ate.
Okay.
That one tasted good. It was Christina's, but she only had a bite. And then I ate the rest because she didn't want it. Right after I had nachos. No, that's on my brain.
You wanted to say something in the kitchen.
I know.
Before you ate the burrito, Grayson.
I'm racking my brain here.
That burrito got to your fucking brain,
bro.
Right?
Why'd I start thinking about how many gallons are in an Olympic-sized swimming pool? 660.
That's
660,000.
Actually, there's no shot. I actually can't picture how much.
How many gallons of water are in an Olympic-sized swimming pool?
If you got this right, $660,000. Why the fuck do you know that? What the fuck is wrong with him?
I could read numbers.
You were talking to mom today, and you recalled a memory from when we were 3 years old. We couldn't even talk yet. How did you remember words before you could talk?
I don't know.
Like, you can kind of talk at three, but you're not, like, the most fluent.
I can tell, like, a vivid story from something that happened when I was three.
We were actually 3 years old. Confirmed by my mom that we were no older than three. And Grayson remembered an entire conversation and story.
Okay, should I tell the story? Why not? So we were at my mom's friend's house who had a pool. We didn't have a pool growing up when we were really young. My mom's friend did, and he was out of town.
This is great. Grayson was 3 years old when this happened. I don't know how the fuck he knows this. You know he was out of town.
Yeah, he was mom's hairdresser friend, and him and his partner were out of town. So he allowed us to swim at his house. And we were swimming in his yard and stuff like that. And then I had to go to the bathroom really bad, number two. And I was like three or four. I think it was four. And as twins do, go to the bathroom at the same time, Ethan then had to go to the bathroom really bad. So, dude, the fucking house was locked because he was out of town.
How do you fucking remember this, dude? We were three.
And I think we like, I think, oh, this, okay, this is going to kind of be gross, but it's also we're four. So it's like maybe cute.
We were three. I just said that 10 times.
No, I think we were four. This was 2004, I remember.
How the fuck, Grayson?
And we sat on the side of like a garbage can, like with the lid shut, and like pooped in a bag, and that's what happened.
Do you remember what kind of bag?
It was a yellow ShopRite bag. ShopRite's like the grocery store bag that we had.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah. Let's deep dive into Grayson's 3-year-old brain some more. Sorry, 4-year-old brain.
I can remember.
What's the earliest memory you have? Do you remember being born? I want to say that.
No, I died. So I don't remember.
All right. I think we've mentioned this before, maybe, but there were complications with Grayson at birth. And I slipped right out. I came out natural.
Yeah.
And then Grayson was on his way out natural. And then he got stuck. The umbilical cord wrapped around his neck.
Wrapped around my leg, I remember feeling it.
No, it was around his neck. And he was not intaking any oxygen. And then your heart stopped, and like flatlined.
They pulled me out, and I was like purple. I was like in rigor mortis almost. Maybe rigor mortis happens a little after that, but like I was purple. Like no oxygen.
You were suffocating.
It was cold, and I was dead. They hooked me up, no heart rate, nothing.
Yeah.
Flat line.
For how long? Well, they checked his breathing. He wasn't breathing for 40,
some in 40, the 40s.
Yeah, like mid-40s. They say 47 seconds. I don't know how they could be so accurate, but I don't know. Maybe that's something that you do remember.
Because maybe that's how long the heart rate thing was out. Whatever it was. But I just came back naturally. They didn't zap me, nothing. Yeah. I just came back.
Well, I was saying he was halfway out natural, and then they had a emergency C-section, my mom. Like, not in the right spot. Like, they had a cut. I think they cut horizontally. They had a cut vertically.
Yeah.
And just opened up my mom. I mean, her life was at risk at this point.
Yeah.
And Grayson apparently wasn't even alive. And then they pulled him out and he came back to life. And then you were stuck in the hospital and I got to go home.
And so I don't remember that.
We were separated.
I think through stories I've heard of like those times, I can like kind of paint pictures in my head, but I don't remember them. You know what I mean? But a young memory of mine was, and there's a picture of me and like of that day when we got like the Rangers hats and jerseys and the hockey sticks. I remember playing hockey with you and Cameron in the backyard. And
how old were we?
There's a picture of us and I think we're 2. Like, and I couldn't talk. And it's so weird that I remember that day so vividly.
That's insane.
Like, I remember like my dad giving us the sticks. I remember what color puck we used. It was like a little orange one. I remember everything about it. It was a little like orange ball. But it's weird. I was 2.
Yeah.
And I remembered. I could tell the story. I remember where we were.
That was your first time seeing a hockey stick and a ball.
We were in the backyard on the brick in the back. And like the little wood in the corner came up. And the net was tucked right there in the corner.
I have no clue where you're talking about.
Yeah, and I was 2 years old in the picture of that day.
Okay, so what happened that day? What was your memory?
Well, I just described the scene kind of like I remember exactly. And then I found the picture after.
Oh, no, I was talking about your birth. Do you remember anything about your birth?
No, I don't remember my birth.
I remember you telling me something, though, one time about like you thought, like you remembered like dying.
Yeah. Kinda. That was like, those were like later dreams I had in my life.
Okay.
So like when I was old enough for my mom to tell me the story of like what happened to me at birth.
So how old, like five?
Five, six maybe. Uh-huh. I started to like ponder like that whole thing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started having dreams about, I think, what I saw like during that time.
And
like I would
was?
Think about like what she told me and then the fact that I had gone through that. And then I guess I thought about it so much that like I visualized what it was like in my dreams, but it felt so like real. And like, I feel like I recall having a dream where I was like, I had like a falling sensation and I was looking up and I was falling away from this bright light that was like a golden yellow and like another color of yellow that doesn't exist on this earth, like a color I've never seen before. And like, I remember falling from that color and that like light. And, like so vividly, it's in my head so vividly, but I can't describe it.
Like because, right now it's in your head vividly.
Yeah, it is. Because it's nothing that I've ever seen on earth. Like it's a color that it's not a color in that flame at all. Like I'm literally comparing the color in my head to the color in that flame. And if you give me a sheet of yellows and goldens and oranges, it's not on the sheet. Like the color doesn't physically exist here. At least with the eyes I have. And I looked it up as I got older, and there was other people that had died and said that they saw that exact color.
And had the falling sensation?
I don't know about the falling sensation, but I said, they say that they see like it's a weird golden yellow color.
They gave me the chills. That's crazy. Because, yeah, you think about why so many people say the light. I've seen the light, or I see the light.
And why is it light? Because you usually...
Like it sounds cliche, but
when you're going to sleep at night and you close your eyes...
It's dark.
It's dark. But when you die and you close your eyes, it's light. It's crazy. And it's such a common thing that people say, I see the light.
Yeah.
And I did see the light.
That's insane.
Which is crazy. And I could see it in my head, and it feels like a privilege because it doesn't exist here. So that, I guess, would be my youngest memory. Was because if that is from the time that I did die, that was like my first moments on earth. Like I literally got pulled out and I died, and then I saw that, and then...
Yeah.
I later saw it in a dream. I haven't seen it since, but I have it in my head. Like it's locked in. I remember where I was when I had the dream.
Yeah.
I remember waking up in the morning, walking around the kitchen. We were in a rented house in North Carolina. We were like five. And I had this dream in one of the rooms. And then I walked upstairs and my mom and dad were cooking breakfast, and we were like at this beach house.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of nowhere. It was like these sand dunes. There was wild horses walking around. That was like the vacation we took. So cool. But that's where I had the dream. And then that morning I was walking around the kitchen just thinking, like, what did I just see? And I was so confident that I knew it was like from that time.
Wow.
So weird. And then also on that trip, I think I got into video making.
We did.
Because I was, okay, as magical as that sounds.
Wait like a second.
Wild horses walking around.
Dude, wait a second. That's
sand dunes.
That like, okay, that what you just described seems like heaven itself. But like the fact that you think you saw that and then we just miraculously started doing something that we're still doing today that kind of makes us feel like it's our purpose. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's a weird connection. But we did get into video making literally that day. That was before Bob and Rob and all the skits and shit that we filmed.
So we were stuck in this house. Like not stuck in this house. It was beautiful. There was like an outdoor shower. The beach was not a far walk from the house, but there was nothing around us. We literally had to drive miles on the actual beach in front of the ocean.
Actual sand. You had to have a car with four-wheel drive to get there. And yeah. There was sand dunes, and then over some of the dunes, there was like a little valley in the sand dunes, and that's where the house was.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But then like miles down the beach, like this road became at the end of the beach, and then you drive into town and get groceries, and that's where we had to like go a few times throughout that trip because we stayed there for like 5 days.
Mm-hmm. We were five,
something like that, and
or six.
Yeah, but I just remember being like kind of bored out of my mind one day because we're in the middle of nowhere. Like we went to the beach enough. We, you know, took them like this many hikes. It was just like, now what?
Yeah,
and we had this video camera that my mom took, like a little like VHS or whatever it was, like point and shoot that flips out, and I just took it and I was like, I'm just gonna take it. And I started walking around outside, like through the dunes and stuff like that. Everyone's probably looking for me, but I got lost like miles and miles into these dunes, and there was these wild horses near me and all this stuff. I saw a red fox and a snake and all this stuff. And I just started filming all of it and doing like commentary. And then like I would cut the camera and then pick up somewhere else. And I try to make a skit through like cutting the camera.
Yeah.
Like My brain wasn't, I wasn't filming this as, to capture memories. I was filming it to show someone for entertainment.
Because I remember
that's when I got into the love of just of creating.
I remember this, and I don't even know if it, I knew that you did it too, but I remember doing the same thing, and I think I put on like an accent or talked in like a stupid voice, and I did the same thing, and then I saw a snake, and I filmed the snake, but like I didn't just film the snake to show everyone. Like I filmed the snake in the skit, and then I kept going with the skit, and like I remember showing everybody at the house, and I was like waiting for the moment that the snake popped up because like this is gonna be an epic part of the skit.
I remember you showing me that,
and. But I didn't like say, oh, I found a snake. I found a snake. I let the skit play out. Why? Why did I do that?
I don't know.
Like that was like when I realized that I love creating videos for people to see. That's fucking weird.
Dude, low-key, maybe we should like make it a goal to like get that house one day.
Why that house? Because that's where we filmed our first video?
I don't know. It's like so special now to me just talking about the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we always wanted crazy. We always wanted a house on the East Coast. The house is in the middle of nowhere. It's so private.
Cool.
It's so fucking cool. You have to drive on the beach to get to it.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know what? You just said like maybe make it a goal to get that house one day. I saw something really interesting today. Just like a successful, I believe successful man speaking.
Yeah.
Or at least he had a mentality of someone who you'd consider successful because he kind of just seemed to have a finger on everything.
Yeah.
And he said one quote in this huge quote, and he said, you could buy a house but not a home. And that's something really simple, but I had never really heard that before. And it's really true. Like I used to set goals of like what I wanted to buy and then like think about the things that I needed to do to get there, to reach those goals.
Yeah.
To make that money to buy those objects. And a lot of them were houses. I love real estate. I believe your home is your sanctuary, but a house is not your sanctuary. Your home is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a home. That's why we bought this house and we did so much stuff. Literally kind of went through hell making it our home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we sacrificed like normal living for 7 months just to turn this into like our home because it just didn't feel like that. It just felt like a house.
That's so cool.
So I love that he said that.
There's little things you hear that you could like pick up and like some of them you take with you for the rest of your life.
Because, you know, a house to people, like, oh, I'm going to buy a house. It's like you're trying to buy the biggest house. You're looking like, I mean, obviously we look at what houses value is based upon and that's square footage, location,
lot
size.
I mean, date it was made.
Even like privacy. Like, those things are all subject to opinion. And everybody has a different opinion about what their home looks like.
Yeah.
That's a house. So when you think about buying a house, you're like, I'm trying to buy the most valuable house for the cheapest price. Not thinking, oh, is this house going to be a home for me? Some people do, you know? But I think that's something I need to like really keep in mind. It's like I shouldn't ever say like, oh, you know, I want to buy a house. Like, I want to buy a mansion because like objectively that sounds like a good idea to people if you can do it. But it's way more important to buy a home because your home might not look like a mansion.
There were so many houses that we're like looking at to buy that we're just not homey.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like I'm getting fucking like ugh about like a few of them thinking about them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm glad I'm here.
But when we didn't have that connection to them, like we weren't like, oh, this is gonna be home. It was just like, okay, this house is fucking cool because it's it's like a house.
Yeah. That's a really cool. And I think like home can mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, it took so long for California to feel like home. But I can confidently say Cali feels like home now. And I call it Cali because I'm from fucking Jersey. Mm-hmm. Californians roast me for saying Cali. Like, it's not the cool thing to say if you're from California.
Yeah, apparently.
But I'm just going to call it Cali because I'm not from California. Mm-hmm. But California is my home, so maybe I start saying it. I don't know. I've been here for 5 years now, almost 5.5. And it finally feels like my home. We were on Sunset today getting a few things for our house that we needed.
It's like curbside pickup.
Yeah. And I was like on that road, and for the first time I was like, wow, dude, like this, like we're in West Hollywood right now, but like I have so many memories on this block
mm-hmm.
that it just feels like I'm home.
Yeah.
Like when I was 15, I remember like going into this store and getting this thing. And I remember being with this group of friends. And then when I was 18, I was on my motorcycle, almost got ran off the road right here. In front of this McDonald's. Like I have so many memories just on Sunset, like, and in this town that it feels like my home now. I mm-hmm. think that's what contributes to making a place feel like home, is just like the amount of memories you have there.
Yeah, not entirely though. You know what I mean? Like it definitely contributes, but I wouldn't say like that memories essentially.
It's like some weird feeling that you can't describe until you feel it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow, I feel like I'm at home. You're not uncomfortable at all. Nothing intimidates you. It's just like, so, yeah, you're just comfortable.
Think about the other place that we would like stay in when we first moved here. We lived in Hollywood. If we stayed there, it would never feel like home. No matter how many memories, it would never feel like home.
Yeah.
This feels like home because.
But when we visit that area, it still feels like home now. Oh, it's so crazy. Like, I've settled into LA.
Yeah.
I never thought I could do it. I almost gave up.
Mm-hmm.
I almost went back to Jersey so many times.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that. Like some of my friends that come visit me and they just like, dude, I don't know how you live here. I'm like prior to getting here, they're like, yo, like sunshine, palm trees, you know, Hollywood. And they get here and then they leave like, you know, a week later after the trip and they're like, dude, I don't know how the fuck you live there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like I used to say I don't either. Yeah. But now it feels like home.
I couldn't live anywhere else right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Maybe one day.
Me either.
Maybe one day.
It'd be nice to like be able to bounce back to Jersey and have our own little spot. But mm-hmm. My priority is being here. I feel at home.
Yeah.
Feels good.
My goal.
What were we just saying though? I wanted to get into something else that was interesting to me.
Can I get into something?
Oh, this story about me getting almost run off the road. Maybe I should tell that because I brought it up.
Yeah, you could do that. You probably should provide some more context for that story.
Yeah. So speaking of memories in Los Angeles, this was around the time Ethan and I wanted to become badasses. We were like 17.
Started getting a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, you know, I had like a couple on my leg and...
We're 18.
One on the inside of my lip and stuff.
Damn.
It says grind.
It's fucking badass.
And so I could grow a cheesy mustache, so I thought, hey, it's time to put on that fucking leather jacket and those high boots and those black jeans and get on that cycle. You know?
The bicycle?
Motor.
Oh, shit, that's badass.
Yeah. And we went to the course. We took our courses. We got our motorcycle licenses after studying for a long time and taking all these courses and doing all this stuff. And we got a motorcycle. I got Ethan a motorcycle for his birthday 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got me the same motorcycle for Christmas a few days later
in Jersey.
And then we got two motorcycles out here because we needed them in Cali. You know, we had to be cool.
Yeah.
You know? And I have some good memories on it. Like, I remember one night, it was 101 degrees. It was like the crazy. Like, at night in California, it usually stays warm. And my friend was, he wanted to go, I guess, see this girl that he was talking to at this club on Sunset Boulevard. And he got on the back of my bike. We both had tank tops on because it was fucking hot, like 101 degrees at night. And when you're on the bike, as we were driving, I feel like a blow dryer was in our face. And he was on the back of my bike, and he's trying to look all badass because he's on it, like or at least get in like the zone. He was going to like see this girl. I don't even know if they'd ever met. It was like a maybe the first time they were going to meet type thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he was on the back. And when we got down the canyon, because we live on the other side of the hill, when we got down the canyon into Beverly Hills, he took his arms off where he was holding on to me, and there was just a sweat mark. Like, that's just because his arms were on me, that's how fucking hot it was. There was just a line of sweat. And we pull up to the club. It was Hyde. And when you're in the club, there's like a bunch of bushes outside and you can't see outside of it. But he was like all paranoid. He's like, bro, like, I can't have her see me like pull up like to the club on the back of your bike. And I was like, dude, man, it's fine, dude. He was like, no, bro. He was like punching me as I was driving. He was like, bro, fucking stop, dude. Pull over somewhere else, dude. I'll walk over there. So I ended up going into the McDonald's parking lot across the street. He got off the bike and he knew I was fucking with him. Like, cause I like, it would have been funny if she saw how he got there. So I was like trying to like keep him on, but he like threw the helmet off and he was like, all right, bro, all right, thank you. And he ran across the street to the club. That was so fucking funny.
But then we went riding together.
And then we went riding together like a few nights later in the same, like literally the same exact spot.
Yeah.
So Ethan and I are riding together. I was like, yo, like, follow me. I went on this road to drop off our boy the other night. Follow me. This is like a really sick route. Ethan's following me down the canyon. We're having fun. You know, we're on our bikes. We got our leather jackets on, all that stuff. We're
synthetic leather jackets.
Feeling like cool boys. And as I was riding, now when you're on a bike,
people hate you automatically.
There's a lot of people that just don't like motorcyclists. That's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like how like Karens hate skateboarders.
Yeah.
You know, the driver equivalent of a Karen hates motorcyclists.
Yeah.
Even if they're abiding by the law and doing everything fine, they just have a bad rap. I don't. I understand what it's like to be one. And I think that comes from the fact that it's really hard to see them. Like, even if they're in your blind spot and you look over your shoulder, a lot of times, like, cars, like, the parts in the cars and stuff like that in between the windows and stuff can hide, like, a motorcyclist in your blind spot. You can't see them in your mirror. So people probably get frightened by them, and then that's why they get the bad rap, maybe. And I found myself in one of those situations where I wasn't seen by a driver. And I personally believe that he wasn't looking. Like, he just didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a car, it would have almost hit me too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm driving, and it was like a Friday night, so it was like people were getting dropped off at all the clubs. Like, the Uber lane was packed.
It was also 1 a.m.
Yeah, or 12, midnight. And the Uber lane was packed, so the right lane, and there's Sunset is a two-lane road on each side. And so he was driving in the right lane, and I was in the left.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Uber lane was like so packed, he just hopped over to the left with no turn signal. And without looking, and he almost hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit.
And so, I was right behind you, behind that car. So,
yeah, so Ethan was watching everything happen. It was like a $350,000 Range Rover.
But let me just say, if you're driving, you're riding a motorcycle with your friends, and a car is about to hit one of them, there's nothing you can do to warn your friend. You can try to rev your engine, but oftentimes they won't hear it or won't hear it soon enough. So
yeah, it's
sketchy. To see my twin brother almost get hit by a Range Rover while he's on his motorcycle, that fucking sucked. I felt hopeless.
Yeah. All right. And so now I'm driving and I pull up because I'm trying to get in front of this guy. He just hit me. I'm like, there's no way I'm going behind him.
He didn't hit you.
Oh, he almost hit me.
You said he just hit you.
He just almost hit me. And so I swerve out of the way. I pull up, and as I'm pulling up to get around him,
yeah,
I look at him. And he made eye contact with me through my helmet. I think I had my visor up. And I just shook my head like, no, man. Like, you got to look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to remind him, like, yo, listen. And also, Ethan was behind me.
Like an SMH.
Yeah, Ethan was behind me. So I SMH'd at him. And I was like, yo, be careful. Mm-hmm. There's more motorcyclists behind you. I pull up in front of him. And that pissed him off because he knew he was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you catch someone in a fuck up and they just can't admit it and they get so defensive? That was this guy. And
especially like people on the road.
Yeah.
People just have like intense road rage tendencies. And it's like, just fucking relax.
Yeah. It's like, just go home.
Yeah.
And then get out of your car.
Why have I never seen a young person road rage? It's always just like an older person.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. So
maybe that'll be a thing of the past one day. I don't know.
So we pull up at the stop, this traffic light. I'm the first vehicle up at the traffic light. The guy is behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ethan lane split, so you're allowed to lane split in California on a motorcycle. And he comes up next to me, and he's like, "Yo, what happened?" And I was like, "Yo, Ethan, that guy's he's fucking mad."
But like, we also couldn't really hear each other because we have helmets on.
But I was trying to tell him, "Yo, that guy's dangerous. I think he's fucking mad. He almost hit me, and like he realized it, and now he's mad." And he was, sure enough, he pulled up behind us, laying on his horn, and got like 1 inch from my back tire.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the first week that I have my bike.
Yeah.
And I look back at him, and he's screaming, flipping me off, screaming. And I'm like, "Jeez, this guy's fucking mad." And I was like, "Yo, E, like, let's just get lost. Like, let's like cook this guy and get out of here."
Yeah.
So off the light, we take off, and I'm trying to get away from this dude, and he's up my ass.
Like switching lanes.
Switching lanes, just no turn signal, not looking anything, just trying to get at me, and he finally gets up to my left, and I'm fucking scared. He's in like like I said earlier, a $350,000 Range Rover. Like, this is the most LA.
Like, soup the fuck up.
This is
like,
the most Beverly Hills shit to ever happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens when you ride your
motorcycle. Well, he had no clue what to spend his money on, so he just said, "Give me the most expensive everything when I upgrade this Range Rover." And that's what he did. And then the thing was just fucking enormous at this point.
Yeah. And it was fast.
Yeah, it was fast as shit.
And he's next to me, and he rolls his window down. He's like, "Fuck you. Fuck you." And I was like, I flipped my visor down. I was like, "Hey, chill out, man. Like, you almost hit me before. I just wanted you to watch where you were going," because he had another motorcyclist behind you. And he was like, "I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to beat your ass." Yeah. And I was like, "No, you're not, because I'm not going to fight you. Like, I'm not fighting. That's not what's going on right now."
Also, punch me in the face. I have a fucking helmet on.
Okay, but I somehow remained calm in this situation. I think it was because I was like frightened. And I was like, I just want to like.
And you're also defenseless. You're on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, when someone's in a car, it doesn't matter the size of you or them. Like, they're in a 4-ton, however the fuck heavy cars are, vehicle, and I'm on a 400-pound bike. You know? It's basically just me. And so he's screaming at me. And I'm like, "Dude, just calm down. Like, it's fine." And he's like, no. And like some fucking reason, he just got even more angry after I was trying to calm him down. I was like, "This ain't working." And he just, shoo, just turns his steering wheel all the way to the right into my lane and like comes inches from hitting me. I like skidded like out a little bit with my back brake. I pulled the clutch, popped my front tire up, and jumped onto the sidewalk. And I'm riding, and there's a bus stop in front of me. And I'm like, "Oh, shit." So I dip through these bushes in this little path into the McDonald's parking lot that I dropped my friend off in like a few nights earlier. But to get away from the guy, he literally tried to hit me with his car. I jumped up on the curb, over these bushes, into the McDonald's parking lot, and then like used part of the drive-thru to just make a turn and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And I took back roads home and just got the hell out of there. And that was the last time I got on my bike in LA. I was like, I'm fucking over this. 1 week, this guy tried to hit me, I'm done.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
After Grayson dipped off, like, I dropped back behind the car, and then I had to find you. And like, you have no way of communicating when you're on your bike. So that's like another thing that you're at a disadvantage with.
But luckily we have...
But what that taught us was that
we have twin telepathy, so we use that.
But yeah, we use that. But what that taught us is that, like, you're basically defenseless when you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that whole incident, maybe if it happened to me, that would have been enough for me to call it quits with the bike. But I went to Jersey a little bit soon after that, a little bit later that summer, 2018, August. And this was like a couple days before we filmed that survival series in New Jersey, the first one. And I was just on my motorcycle, and I went to get breakfast at my favorite breakfast spot in town. And I was with my friend. I met him there. And he took a picture of me on the motorcycle, like on my motorcycle, like giving like the finger, because I was like, oh, I'm badass. I have a jacket and a motorcycle. And I was like 18, so I thought it was cool and shit. And he's like,
motorcycles are like pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking the, I'm just,
oh no, definitely.
But they are just fucking cool.
They're just one of the least safe things in the world. So
yeah.
And this was something that I was like, no one could ever convince me of. I decided that I wanted to go to motorcycle, and there was no talking me out of it.
No.
My parents tried to talk me out of it. We have relatives that have been in motorcycle accidents, family friends that have been in motorcycle accidents. I was like, nah, it's not going to happen to me, because it's just something that you don't think will happen to you. And I was like, nah, I'm getting a motorcycle. So I did, and didn't believe I was going to get into an accident. And then that day, when my friend took the photo of me after getting breakfast, I was like, I had a really fucking weird feeling. Like, I almost like made like a joke with myself in my head. I was like, oh, that's the last photo of me that's gonna exist. Like, cause I was like on a motorcycle looking like a badass. I'm like, that this just feels weird. So I was like, all right, I'll see you later. He was going home. He lives on the mountain. I live in the valley. I was going to my house, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take like back roads, because I want to avoid cars. I thought back to what happened in LA. I'm like, I want to avoid cars today and decrease my odds of getting into an accident, because I have this weird feeling, undeniably weird feeling.
Yeah.
So I took a back road home, and there was like one road that like is like kind of gravel, and then one road that's not. And they both led to my house, but they're both like very like chill back roads. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to take the gravel road, because I don't want to like slip out, because maybe that's why I'm tripping out. Maybe I'll slip out or something. I'm just going to take the other chill road, freshly paved, no traffic at all. So I'm driving, and I'm like, this is so fucking peaceful. Why is this so nice? And I start like coming up the road, and then I see a car like a little bit in the distance, just a windy backcountry road, trees everywhere, houses on like either side, but like
farmhouses.
Yeah, like farmhouses. So there's like a lot of land in front of the houses, long driveways. And I see a car in front of me, and it's a truck from like literally the 1940s. It's full steel.
Rust. It's rusted. It's like, just the color of rust.
Yeah, but it's like red and rusted, but like you could tell it was made out of steel. And
Ethan was riding by himself. I just know this because I see.
Have you ever seen like The Notebook? Like, it looked like a truck from then. But even, I probably honestly older than that. Like one of those classic trucks.
Yeah, 1940s. It was a 1947 or some shit.
So I noticed that the truck doesn't have turn signals. And the guy was like sticking his arm out of the window. And I'm like, what is he doing? Is he trying to turn, or is he like telling me to pass him? And he puts his arm back in the window. So I was like, okay, he's not trying to turn, because turn signals, you put your arm out of the window and then you stop and then you make the turn. He didn't make the turn for like another 50, 60 feet. And I'm okay. Then he puts his arm out of his window and he starts like waving me forward. And I'm like, what's he doing? I'm not going to pass this guy. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I can't pass you. Like, there's so many blind spots. I'm not going to go into the left lane. It's also a double yellow line. Can't pass you here. And then he puts his arm back in his window and keeps driving. And then, like, he has his arm out of his window, and he starts, like, literally waving me. Like, his arm's like this, like, telling me to pass him, because he's probably like, oh, I don't want this motorcycle behind me. Or he thinks, or this motorcyclist thinks I'm driving slow. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm just chilling. Like, I literally took this road so that I could just chill. I wasn't trying to go fast.
That's a common thing for cars to do. Like, when I was on my motorcycle, a lot of cars would always just let me pass.
Let me pass them.
They know you're faster.
So many times.
And a lot of people don't like the idea of a motorcycle being
around them. Yeah.
You know, I don't. When I'm on the highway, I try to just get away from it.
Yeah.
Give them their space.
Yeah. So the dude legitimately tells me to pass him. Like, he stuck his arm in and out of his window 5 times, and like, had like a waving motion, was literally waving me on. Like, I vividly remember him waving me on. I'm okay, he's telling me to pass, and this is normal, but I'm not gonna do it right now.
Yeah.
And then he gets all the way to the right, and he's driving like on the right side, like in the shoulder almost, for like 50 feet, no arm out of the window, no nothing at this point. And I'm like, okay, this is, he's probably telling me to pass him now. Like, he's slowed down too. So as I go to pass him, honestly in my own lane, because he's so far in the shoulder that I don't even like really have to go into the left lane. Also, I can see the full left lane because it started to get straight there. I'm like, okay, I can pass him safely now. So I speed up from like the speed limit was 45. I speed up from like 30 because he was going so slow to probably like 55 because I had a Ducati. It was fast as fuck. Like you could accelerate really quickly.
Yeah.
And that's, I was just trying to get around the guy. So as I accelerated to like 55, the dude hooks a left into like this hidden gravel, like dirt, probably driveway right before this little bridge that had guardrails on either side. And then there was a ditch and trees everywhere. He hooks a left, and I just remember the sound of my motorcycle hitting the left side of the hood of his car, like right by where his wheel is, like right in front of where his wheel is. And I'm like, holy fuck, I'm in a motorcycle accident right now. And I'm just like, the time definitely slowed down because I had at least like 50 thoughts within like me hearing that sound and then like me eventually opening my eyes. But like, it all probably happened pretty fast, but I just remember thinking like 10 things at once. I was like, this is going to hurt really fucking bad. Am I going to hit that guardrail? Am I going to end up in this ditch? Holy fuck, there's so many trees around. I better not hit a tree. All these thoughts going through my head. And then I just feel like my heels, like the back of my heels touch the ground. Like my legs are extended. I feel the back of my heels touch the ground. And I just fall backwards from a heel to the back of my head and just hit the back of my head on the ground mm-hmm. with my helmet on. And then like I saw like stars and I don't remember seeing anything after that until I opened my eyes and I was looking straight up and there was just trees around. Like there was just like, it looked beautiful. It was a nice backcountry road. And I'm looking at the trees and I'm like, shit, like I'm good. Like I don't even feel dizzy. Like I feel fine. Like this looks like I'm just chilling. So I just get up to my feet immediately because I was like, okay, like I might think I'm okay, but I could have a serious leg injury. I could be paralyzed. I was like, I need to make sure I can walk right now. I got up to my feet and I just started sprinting around, like screaming, like, what the fuck happened? What the fuck? Like, because I was so in shock.
It's just like, now that I know you're fine, like the fact that you just got up and started sprinting.
And also, don't get up and sprint after you get into an accident. Like, yeah, that's just the dumbest thing ever. But I was so scared. Like, I just panicked. I was like, I need to make sure I can walk. So I got up to my feet and luckily I was able to sprint like immediately. And I was like, why am I not hurt right now? And then I was like, okay, I'm probably in shock. I probably am fucked up because for me to hit the front of his car and then I looked at the car 45, 50 feet away from me.
It was far.
Far.
It went flying.
Like I went flying. I don't know how I probably slid on the ground. What I think happened, because I have no clue. I have no logical explanation for this. He pulled into his driveway. I hit him on the left side of the hood of his car. And I probably went flying off my bike over the car because when I woke up or got up, opened my eyes for the first time after getting hit, my bike was on the other side of his car. I couldn't see it. And he was like completely horizontal on the side of the
road. What you're explaining to me is that you did a triple double backflip full twist with a trick shot.
I really fucking think so, dude. I really think I probably did a double flip. I don't think it was just one flip. I went flying, and then how did I like go over his car?
All right,
to then hitting my heels to back of the head on the ground. My helmet saved my life. Also, ooh, always wear a helmet. And then I get up. I'm running around. I start screaming at the guy. I'm like, "You fucking hit me! Why did you do that?" And then
he was laughing. Yeah.
Did he hit me on purpose? Like, what the fuck is going on right now? So I take my helmet off. And then I'm like, holy shit, my knee starts hurting a little bit. My back starts hurting a little bit. I can feel that I'm like scraped up. I was also wearing shorts and a t-shirt, which is stupid. And I wasn't really even bleeding, only a little bit from my knee. And then I see this woman like screaming, running down her front yard, like a little hill on her front yard. And she's like, stop running. Lay down. I'm a paramedic. She was a paramedic. I crashed onto a paramedic's front lawn. I missed the guardrail, missed all the trees, missed the ditch. Landed on a paramedic's front lawn. She lays me down on my back. She's like, listen, your neck, this has happened before, this precautionary. We make sure that people don't move their necks after accidents because your neck could be broken. If you move it, it could seriously fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to not move your neck right now. So I was on the ground, like laying on my back. I'm like, I need to call my parents. Like, I can't believe this happened. I first called my mom and I was like, Mom, you cannot be mad at me. Actually, I called Dad first. I knew he'd be more chill with it. I called my dad first, and I was like, Dad, listen, don't be mad at me. I'm fine. I just want to say right now that I'm fine. Before I even get into what I'm about to tell you, I'm fine. So hear my voice. Hear that I'm calm. I'm telling you I'm fine. But I just got into a motorcycle accident. A truck hit me, and I'm good, though. And he was very chill about it because he probably knew I was panicking. And then he told my mom, And then I was just talking to this paramedic lady, and then everyone showed up. Like my friend that I was with before, I guess he got word from my mom. I guess he got word from Grayson, he got word from my mom, and everybody came to the scene. And they took me in an ambulance. And yeah, it was just, it was insane. Like just feeling like you kind of cheated death. It's really fucking scary because I was looking out of the back of the ambulance driving away from the scene, and I was like, my bike is totaled. This car is damaged severely, and yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah. And I was in the ambulance with Ethan.
And I was seeing the trees around, and I was just like thinking like...
Yeah, that was the moment I was like, yeah, I'm getting rid of my motorcycle. Because yeah. I had one too. I was in the ambulance with Ethan riding shotgun, and I was talking to the driver, and he was like, yeah, this is the fifth motorcycle accident today, and it was 11 a.m.
I said, yeah, right after breakfast.
In our area.
It was 11 a.m.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm getting off my bike. Yeah. And then I got to the hospital, and this cop was like, hey boss, you ride a bike too? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you got to throw that shit out. You got to get rid of that fucking thing. You got to sell it. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, like this is like today alone, we got like 45 people like,
it was like a nice day. Like, it was like the first like nice day in a while.
From like within like a, it was fucked. Like the number of people that had gotten into motorcycle accidents in our state, like in our area.
That day.
Phew.
He goes, it's not a matter of if.
There was like 12 people alone at our hospital by 11 a.m. Yeah.
He said, it's not a matter of if, but when you get into an accident.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle.
And so.
When I was rushed in, I was sent to the trauma unit because if you get ejected from a vehicle, it's precautionary. You go to the trauma unit. Like you have to, it's policy. So I was fine. They evaluated me in the ambulance. They knew I was fine, but I had to go to the trauma unit to make sure that there was no internal bleeding or anything like that. So he warned me. He's like, all right, you're going to get to the hospital. We're putting you on a stretcher and we're going to wheel you into this room. Just heads up. There's going to be a lot of people doing a lot of things to you at once. So I go in, they start cutting my clothes off. Like just snipping my clothes off, my shorts, my shirt, everything, and my underwear too. So they're checking everything. And I remember I just shaved my legs for a survival video. So I was like bare. I felt so nude. Like that was the first, like I was like, what the fuck? This feels so weird. I felt like extra naked. And I was like, they're probably wondering why I'm like clean shaven and just like look like a baby, but a grown up. So that was kind of weird. And yeah, they were doing everything to me. They were looking at my eyes, my throat, my mouth, my nose. Like, they had this thing on my finger, the heart rate monitor. They were taking my blood pressure. They were cutting my clothes off. So it was crazy. And they were like, okay, your ankle's broken. And I was like, my ankle's fine. They're like, no, your ankle's broken. We're going to take you in for some x-rays, but you're probably going to need surgery. Like, literally immediately just said that to me. And they were like yelling at each other, and they're like, no, his ankle doesn't look broken. They're like, no, it's broken. We evaluated it. The ambulance told us it was broken. And I was like, no, it's not. And like, they were just like kind of arguing with each other. And one of them was like, Ethan, I'm sorry. We got you confused with the guy next. There was a curtain in the middle of the trauma unit. And there was a guy next to me who was also in a motorcycle accident, literally within a mile from my accident on the backcountry roads as well. And they got us confused because we got in at the same time from the same area. And I was like, wow, motorcycle accidents are that common. Yeah.
And then we asked the police officer a little bit about that guy's accident, and he said that it was a hit and run because they got into like a little altercation. The driver of some random vehicle and the motorcyclist got into an altercation or whatever, a little road rage, and the guy in the car hit the motorcyclist and just dipped. And he said, we'll never catch the guy. He said, there's nothing that we can do to catch the guy.
Would you say that the worst gift you've ever received in the holiday season was the motorcycle?
It was really thoughtful at the time because I was like obsessed with motorcycles, but it was the most dangerous gift I've ever received.
Yeah.
And that's why I literally like, I try to talk my friends out of getting a motorcycle so much, which sucks because I know how obsessed I was. And I know my love for motorcycles at one time, it was all I did. All I watched was motorcycle YouTube videos, looked into which motorcycle I wanted. And when I got mine, it felt like it was like an extension of me. I loved it. And it's just not worth it.
For fucking real, dude. And to land on like, not in any of those dangerous areas, but a paramedic's front lawn.
And dude, we literally filmed the survival series 3 days after that.
Like you were fine.
I was fine. I was limping a little bit because my knee was a little sore, but it's crazy. No breaks, no nothing. Just literally scratches and bruises.
Do you think that was the Christmas miracle just from the Christmas gift?
Something like that. It was some sort of miracle.
I'm sad to admit that we don't have a hotline. I really want one, but supposedly it takes a lot more attention, like technical attention. And the people that help us with this podcast are off for the holidays, as everybody else is.
So we're going to probably come back in the new year with the hotline and everything like that, where you guys can call in and talk to us and tell us your stories and things like that.
How you're spreading positivity.
We just want to, yeah, we want to be able to connect with you guys deeper on this podcast called Deeper. But sorry, that just came in my mind. I was like, dang, this would be a good time to
have a hotline. That's what you were thinking about in the kitchen.
That maybe it was, honestly. No, I still don't know.
What'd you get me for Christmas?
Dude, so we made an agreement that I wasn't going to get Ethan anything, and he wasn't going to get me anything, and then he got me something. And I know he did, and I didn't get him anything because we made the agreement.
How could you not get your twin brother a Christmas gift? That's just something that I couldn't wrap my head around, so I had to do it.
I just haven't had time.
Oh, you did?
And like, where do I go? Can't.
You have a twin brother, too, that you didn't get a Christmas gift for?
No.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
Maybe I'll figure it out. I still got a day. Bro, you can't look at me like that.
No, it's fine. I don't need a gift. I literally don't need a gift.
We made an agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, dude, I feel like a dick.
I don't need a gift. No, it's fine. Don't feel like a dick.
Oh, you don't talk like normally like that.
No, I talk exactly like
this. No, you
don't
ever talk like that normally. You're trying to guilt me right now.
I'm not trying to guilt you at all. I literally, dude, it's totally fine.
Shut the fuck up, Ethan.
We told each other. We're not buying gifts this year. Too much shit's going on. I mean, I manage, but dude, I don't want to put any additional stress onto you. You don't have to get me a gift. Don't get me a gift.
I'm so not the type to not get a gift too. This year's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking tough. I will say, on a serious note, we waited last minute to get any gifts because it was just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm an asshole for that, but like this year has just been like fucked.
Well, we can't.
A big part of it was spent like trying to figure out how we could see our family this year, and we just ended up not being able to. So it was like the gifts were kind of like last priority, and now it's just like fuck. But I did order gifts for all of our family members, and they're being shipped over now.
Yeah, I did that today with you. So that was nice. I felt good. Damn. This is like, even like watching Christmas movies, the Christmas spirit is...
Dude, it fucking sucks.
It's like a dull light.
Spirit itself is just low. But think about how high the spirits are going to be.
I know. I'm pumped, dude.
That's why like 2021, for some reason, I feel like it's like a magical number in my head. Like I honestly think like a week into 2020, even before the lockdown and everything, like everyone's like was over the year.
We kind of knew. We kind of knew, dude. I remember like the day after New Year's, I was like, why does this year feel like eh?
Yeah, I noticed
that. Even the New Year's Eve, like we were like with good people and it was still like, what the fuck?
That like intuition I had for 2020 being a bad year, I have just as strong of an intuition for 2021 being a great year. I don't know why.
Me too.
Fucking, I'm going to get like, hopefully I don't get one of those.
It's going to be a great life after this shit. My appreciation for the small things is going to be through the roof. I mean, like, I think it's something that our generation like went through at the age we did. And now for the rest of our lives, we have the privilege of knowing what it's like to not have the things that we have.
Yeah,
because you never know how much you love something till it's gone. Yeah. And everything is almost gone right now. And we're going to have it back.
Life truly is about like the little things and the non-tangible things. Like we were talking about before, you can't buy a house, but you can buy a home. A home is a feeling. It's an environment that you are connected to, and you can't buy connection. Just like you can't buy appreciation, and that's what makes you love something.
You can't
how buy, much you appreciate
you can't
it.
Can't buy gratitude.
Exactly. And growing up in my hometown, even like this is an example of what I'm trying to say, I didn't realize how beautiful it was until I left. Now that we've been in LA for 5 years, I go back home and I'm like, this, I can't believe I'm from here. I'm so blessed to be from here, and I have such a great appreciation for it that I'm happy the entirety of when I'm in New Jersey. So I think after this lockdown and everything, we're all going to be happy just about free life.
Bro, walking around a grocery store is going to look like an artistic movie.
No masks, like seeing people smile, yeah, seeing expression on people's face. Like that's we can't really see expression on people's faces.
Like I met the guy who gave us our furniture today, but I half met him cuz I only saw half of his face.
Right?
I was like, this guy's a great guy. Wish I could see him like his face when we talk to each other. Yeah. So we can have those like human-to-human smiles and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have never thought that way before.
Yeah. You would have never been like, oh, I'm glad I can see this guy's face, this random guy's face.
Life's going to be good.
It's going to be fucking great.
It's going to be fucking good.
Appreciation and gratitude is going to be through the roof.
I'm trying to keep that positive light on, but like about this year.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's going to come like set in retroactively.
Mm.
It's going to happen later.
We're going to realize. Yeah. We're going
to
realize.
Then I'll be able to look back and reflect and realize my appreciation for this year and all it did for me in my life.
We're going to realize that this year was low-key a blessing. I mean, every year is, but it's so hard to fucking see it right now. It does get hard. It gets really hard.
But it's the biggest blessing, though, at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I hope everyone's been safe. I hope everyone has an enjoyable holiday.
And if you have to spend Christmas differently this year, which I'm sure a lot of you have to, try to see it as a blessing. And I guess this Christmas is here to make you appreciate all the Christmases you'll have in the future even more. And even the Christmases in the past. Mm-hmm. So they're more happier memories.
More happier. But this year, we are in Christmas present, and we're doing what we can to deal with it. I mean,
yeah, Grayson's just not getting me a gift, so it's fine.
I told you
totally fine.
Told you your gift.
What's my gift?
For me to like to try my best to not freak out as much and stuff, and to like be there for us.
That's
more.
My gift this year.
Well, yeah, because you've helped me through a lot, so I told you I want to take that pressure off of you.
Oh, thank you. And honestly, that's probably the best gift that you could ever give me. It really is.
I told you that the other day.
Intangible gifts. Give people intangible gifts if you can't give someone a gift physically this year.
Even if that's like a promise to like call your mom like mm-hmm. once a week, if you don't see her, you know, you moved out, something like that. Those things I think are like a lot more special. I have so much more value to them.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said in our 21 video on our main channel, I like funny gag gifts and stuff because it makes me feel an emotion. It makes me laugh. And it tends to be more memorable, where it's like if you get something expensive, it's cool for a little bit, but then the newer version of it comes out and turns into old product. But laughs and memories last forever. But intangible things are the most powerful, in my opinion.
That's why my gift's good.
Yeah. Grayson's, right. Grayson's elaborate excuse as to why he didn't get me a gift this year.
I fucking told you that I got you that gift. I said less freakouts for me, more support.
I'll take it. I have a gift for you, Grayson. Another gift.
What?
I want to give it to you right here on this podcast right now.
All right, I'll accept.
That is our Spread Positivity shout-out of this episode. This week's Spread Positivity shout-out is from Summer Smith, and this is what she said. Hi, my name is Summer, and my Spread Positivity shout-out goes to my boyfriend, Sean. We found each other 1 year into my cancer treatment. I did not expect to find love whilst fighting for my life. He did not mind that I was weak and had He did not mind that I was weak and had no hair. He came to every chemo appointment and was my rock. We've been together for almost 3 years. I am 1 year in remission. We bought our first home during lockdown, and we know we were meant to be. Wow. Yeah, I mean, going back on intangible gifts, the gift of being there for someone, I think, is one of the most powerful gifts that you can receive. And that story was just beautiful in so many ways. I would say, yeah, you guys are definitely meant to be, and that's absolutely fucking amazing. And it's really strong of you to fight the fight that you fought, because I know how that shit goes. And I mean, I've seen it. I don't know. I don't know what you know about it, Summer, but takes insane strength to do what you've done. And to Sean, your boyfriend, that's amazing that you could make your girlfriend feel like the strong person that she is and deserving of love, you know, while she was fighting for something. And, you know, fuck, like I'm just kind of at a loss of words. It's a beautiful story. And then you guys just bought a fucking house. I'm extremely happy to know that you guys are killing it now. And
I'm over here a little quiet because
I feel like you guys have a story that's going to make me emotional because it is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's going to be hard if I keep talking. So I just want to say thanks so much for sharing that, and shout out Sean, who's this week's Spirit Positivity shout out.
We want to get this hotline up and running, as Grayson said before. It's holiday break right now, so we're going to have to wait until the end of that.
But we'll have it in the new year.
But we'll have it in the new year.
Great start to the new year.
Speaking of 2021 being a great year, we will have the Spread Positivity Hotline submission.
That's kind of cool to call it that, Spread Positivity Hotline. Let's fucking go.
Let's go. Okay, bye. See you guys next Thursday. Okay, we're all getting emotional. Gosh, that was beautiful. Love you guys a lot. Thank you guys for listening to us talk, and we love having you guys here every week. Love talking to you guys every week. These are important conversations for Grayson and I to have, and they help us grow. And I feel like we're all growing together, learning new things, and that's what life's about. So, thank you. Love you guys.